The following is the conclusion of Srila Satsarup Das Goswami reading and commenting on Srila Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita.
Sometimes Krishna would go to a somewhat distant place to see the beauty of the forest. Then all the other boys would run to accompany him, each one saying, "I shall be the first to run and touch Krishna. I shall touch Krishna first." In this way they enjoyed life by repeatedly touching Krishna. Now, Prabhupada's quotes are coming from the 12th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now these are more younger boyhood pastimes of Krishna. So we're getting a kaleidoscopic view. Sometimes the gopis speaking with their Madhurya Bhav about the flute, and sometimes the rollicking pastimes of running through the forest from the viewpoint of the gopis. Itam satam brahma sukhana bhutya tasyam gitanam paradaivatena maya sritanam naradarakena sardham vijaru krita punya punja. In this way all the cowherd boys used to play with Krishna, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence for jnanis desiring to merge into that effulgence, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead for devotees who have accepted eternal servitorship, and who for ordinary persons is but another ordinary child. The cowherd boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities for many lives, were able to associate in this way with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can one explain their good fortune? Yat pada pamsur bahujan makuchvato tritam abir yogabir api alabhya sa eva yadrig vishaya svayamstita kimvarnyate dishtamaho vajokasam. Yogis may undergo severe austerities and penances for many births by practicing yama, niyama, asana, and pranayama, none of which are easily performed. Yet in due course of time, when these yogis attain the perfection of controlling the mind, they will still be unable to taste even a particle of dust from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What, then, can we describe about the great fortune of the inhabitants of Rajabhumi Vrindavan, with whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally lived and who saw the Lord face to face? Kvachit palavatalpeshu niyudha shramakarshita vikshamula shrayeshete gopot sango paharhana. When Krishna would feel tired and fatigued, he would sometimes take shelter of the root of a big tree or the lap of a cowherd boy and lie down. Pada sambahanam chakru kechit tasya mahatmana apare hatapapmano vyajanai sam ajiyayan. When he would lie down with a boy or a root as his pillow, some of the boys would come and massage his legs, and some would fan his body with a fan made from leaves. Some of the more talented boys would sing in very sweet voices to please him. O learned Brahmana, Mother Yasoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What past auspicious activities did she and Nanda Maharaj perform to achieve such perfection in ecstatic love? Now quoting 10th canto, 8th chapter. Thereafter, O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharatas, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead became the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they maintained continuous, unswerving, devotional love in parental affection, and in their association all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis and gopis, developed the culture of Krishna Bhakti. Nanda svaputram adaya prosyagata udara di murdi ava grahaya paramam mudam lebe kurudvaha. O Maharaj Parikshit, the best of the Kurus, Nanda Maharaj was very liberal and simple. He immediately took his son Krishna on his lap as if Krishna had returned from death, and by formally smelling his son's head, Nanda Maharaj undoubtedly enjoyed transcendental bliss. Now we're seeing more of the parental pastimes, and if you have any inclination to hear about Krishna, then these ear holes that we have are being filled up and never being tired or satiated. Of course, we may get tired and stop and then hear some more later and hear some more, but in a continuous way, we shall not be tired. We shall go on hearing and not wanting it to end, and it never will end. As we go on hearing Krishna Katha in this life and the next. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. This pastime of activity, of hearing verses from Krishna's pastimes, this was enjoyed tremendously by Lord Chaitanya in the company of Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar. Especially he wanted to hear the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. So it's not just a passive thing or an unimportant thing to hear verses. Rather, it's the way to enjoy rasa for an advanced devotee. But we who are not advanced, how are we going to develop our taste except by taking some time to hear? Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the Goddess of Fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Deliverer from his material world, such mercy as was received by Mother Yasoda. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the bestower of many benedictions, including liberation, Kaivalya, or oneness with the Brahman effulgence. For that Supreme Personality of Godhead, the gopis always felt maternal love, and Krishna sucked their breasts with full satisfaction. Therefore, because of their relationship as mother and son, although the gopis were engaged in various family activities, one should never think that they returned to this material world after leaving their bodies. Gopinam paramananda asid govinda darshane kshanam yugashatam iva yasam yena vina bhavat. In the evening, Krishna and Balaram, along with their boys and cows, returned to Vrindavan, playing their flutes. As they approached the village, all the gopis became very joyous. Throughout the day, the gopis used to think of Krishna while he was in the forest, and in his absence, they were considering one moment to be like 12 years. These are all verses from Srimad Bhagavatam chapters, all translated by Prabhupada in Krishna book. The gopis' mind and intelligence became absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. They all imitated the activities of Krishna and his speeches. Due to their heart and soul being completely given to Krishna, they began to chant his glories, completely forgetting their family interests. Sanatana Goswami is selecting one verse after another, not in any kind of ordinary sequence by number. The previous verse I just read was 6th chapter, then after that 19th chapter, then 30th chapter. But there is a method for his selection to bring out the sweetness and the glory of the residents of Vrindavan and their exchange of rasas with Krishna. Gopyas tapakyam acharam yadamushya rupam avanyasaram asamordvam ananyasiddham drigbi pibanti anusava binavam durapam ekantadama yasasa sriya aishparasya. What austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes, they always drink the nectar of Lord Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever-fresh, and extremely rare. The gopis are so fortunate that they can see and think of Krishna 24 hours a day, beginning from their milking the cows or husking the paddy or churning the butter in the morning. When engaged in gathering fuel, riding on swings, taking care of crying babies, cleaning their houses and washing their floors, they're always absorbed in the thought of Krishna. Their hearts full of love for him and their throats stopped with tears, they always sing of his glories. My dear friends, we must accept the gopis' activities to be the highest form of piety. Otherwise, how could they have achieved the opportunity of seeing Krishna both morning and evening when he goes to the pasturing ground with his cows and cowherd boyfriends and returns in the evening? They frequently see him playing on his flute and smiling very brilliantly. I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. Now, Krishna is speaking from a number of selected verses. My dear, gentle friend Uddhava, please go immediately to Vrindavan and try to pacify my father and mother, Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda Devi and the gopis. They are very much grief-stricken, as if suffering from great ailments. Go and give them a message. I hope their ailments will be partially relieved. That's chapter 36, now chapter 46. The gopis are always absorbed in thoughts of me. They have dedicated body, desire, life, and soul to me. I am anxious not only for the gopis, but for anyone who sacrifices society, friendship, love, and personal comforts for me. It is my duty to protect such exalted devotees. The gopis are the most dear. They are always thinking of me in such a way that they remain overwhelmed and almost dead in anxiety due to separation from me. They are keeping alive simply by thinking that I am returning to them very soon. When Akrura took Balaram and myself to Mathura, the gopis, their hearts full of love for me, became overwhelmed with the pain of separation. They could not see happiness anywhere. Now Sanatana Goswami, by anthologizing Srimad Bhagavatam, has skipped to the 11th canto, but we don't see a skip in content. It's like it's flowing from the 10th canto, 46th chapter, to the 11th canto, 12th chapter. It's all Krishna speaking about the love of the gopis. And this is like the grand final climax conclusion of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that Goloka is the ultimate abode, and within Goloka, the best devotees are the gopis. And the best devotee among the gopis is Srimati Radharani. That's the realization of Sanatana Goswami, who is the direct disciple of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. O gentle one, when I, their beloved, was with them in Vrindavan, the gopis' night passed as half a moment. Now without me, they pass as a kalpa. Their hearts tied to me, the gopis were not aware even of their own selves. They became like sages absorbed in meditation and aware of the world of material names and forms. Unaware of the world of material names and forms, or like rivers that have entered the ocean. Desiring me as their paramour and unaware of my true nature, hundreds and thousands of gopis attained me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now back to 10th canto. Among all the living entities who have accepted the human form of life, the gopis are super-excellently successful in their mission. Their thought is thoroughly absorbed in the lotus feet of Krishna. So the specialty of the gopis is, of course, they love Krishna as a paramour. Moreover, we should understand that they attain the greatest intensity of love, the quality of their love. It's not just that they were lovers and others were friends, but the quality of paramour love, as demonstrated by the gopis, is the most intense love of Krishna, for Krishna's concern and trying to please Krishna. It's just unexcelled. So this point is being made here. They're not just different, but they have the best love, and they please Krishna the most. Their thought is thoroughly absorbed in the lotus feet of Krishna. Great sages and saintly persons are also trying to be absorbed in meditation upon the lotus feet of Krishna, who is Mukunda himself, the giver of liberation. But the gopis, having lovingly accepted the Lord, are automatically accustomed to this habit. They do not depend on any yogic practice. The conclusion is that one who has attained the gopis' condition of life does not have to take birth as Lord Brahma, or be born in a Brahmin family, or be initiated as a Brahmana. The gopis were not born of any highly cultured family. They were born of cowherd men, and yet they developed the highest love of Krishna. For self-realization or God-realization, there is no need to take birth in a high family. The only thing needed is ecstatic development of love of God. In achieving perfection in Krishna consciousness, no other qualification is required than to be constantly engaged in the loving service of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme nectar, the reservoir of all pleasure. The effect of taking up Krishna consciousness is just like that of drinking nectar. With or without one's knowledge, it will act. That's Prabhupada from Krishna book. And now more, although we're coming very near the end. When Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasa Leela, the gopis were embraced by the arms of the Lord. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or other consorts in the spiritual world. Indeed, never was such a thing even imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, whose bodily luster and aroma resemble the lotus flower. And what to speak of worldly women, who are very beautiful according to material estimation. The gopis of Vrindavan have given up the association of their husbands, sons, and other family members, who are very difficult to give up, and they have forsaken the path of chastity to take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, Krishna, which one should search for by Vedic knowledge. Oh, let me be fortunate enough to be one of the bushes, creepers, or herbs in Vrindavan, because the gopis trample them and bless them with the dust of their lotus feet. This is, of course, Uddhava. After he appreciated the gopis' devotion, he made this prayer that he wanted the dust of the gopis' feet, but he was afraid to ask them. So he prayed that in a future life he could get that dust by being a creeper in Vrindavan, and they could step upon him. So although Uddhava was supposed to be the Shiksha Guru to teach the gopis, here we actually see that he simply worships them and the learning from them. When in the rasa dance the gopis embraced to their breasts Lord Krishna's lotus feet, which are worshipped by Lakshmi, Brahma, the demigods whose every desire is fulfilled, and the masters of yoga, they became free of all suffering. I constantly pray to be honored by the dust of the gopis' lotus feet. The gopis' chanting of the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna has become celebrated all over the three worlds. My dear gopis, what auspicious activities must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips independently and leave only a taste for us gopis, for whom that nectar is actually meant? The forefathers of the flute, the bamboo trees, shed tears of pleasure. His mother, the river, on whose bank the bamboo was born, feels jubilation, and therefore his blooming lotus flowers are standing like hair on her body. So Sanatana Goswami has gone back to chapter 21. We can hardly imagine what it's like, him picking one verse after another, just they're all swimming through his blissful consciousness, and he's giving us this verse and then that verse, tasting the nectar wildly from Srimad Bhagavatam, and sharing it with us in his special anthology. And now he leaps ahead way to the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 90. Lord Sri Krishna is he who is known as Jananivasa, the ultimate resort of all living entities, and who is also known as Devaki Nandana or Yashoda Nandana, the son of Devaki and Yashoda. He is the guide of the Yadu dynasty, and with his mighty arms he kills everything inauspicious as well as every man who is impious. By his presence he destroys all things inauspicious for all living entities, moving and inert. His blissful smiling face always increases the lusty desires of the gopis of Vrindavan. May he be all glorious and happy. Sri Janamajaya said, I have found the goal of life. I have found the goal of life. Oh, my Lord, oh, my Guru, you have explained to me the confidential glory of Goloka. Sri Jaimini said, Oh, dear one, you have spoken the truth. Anyone who with devotion hears, chants, or remembers this story attains that supreme abode. Obeisances to unlimitedly merciful Lord Krishna, who is the son of the Gopas king, who is the supreme guru, who gives devotional service to the devotees, and who is very pleased by their service. And that's the somewhat sudden end of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. It seemed like Sanatana Goswami wanted to go on unlimitedly, but he had to go on to compile other books. And Krishna, who he says in the beginning dictated this book to him, also indicated now Brihat Bhagavatamrita is complete. So what can we do, who are simply beggars, to take this nectar? What can we do but accept that the book has ended suddenly? And I hope that we can each feel a little bereft of it. And if we're smart, we'll go back and hear it again and again, and go from this book to Srimad Bhagavatam, which Sanatana Goswami taught us to do, and relish the nectar from the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna book, the source of all the nectar about Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Sanatana Goswami. All glories to Lord Chaitanya. Gaura Prema Nanda Hari Hari Bol.